It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
There's way too many bowl games. You're going to have games where people don't care at all. I think that's going to be a disaster. That's going to be one of those ones where they're like asking homeless people to come in. If Wisconsin was playing Florida State, fans would get excited about that. That's the downside to playing this group of five school. Nobody is excited about it except for...
Because it's an extremely unsexy group of five school.
When you're the team that has to play the group of five school, your fan base is not stoked. Ronda Rousey has humiliated everybody she fought. She lost one fight, and everybody's like, nope, she's no good anymore. And even I took some of this when I lost my fight. People talking about, oh, you got your ass kicked. It's like, I fought a handful of times. I lost one time, and it's all of a sudden you're a bum. It's really kind of weird.
All it takes is one where you come back and torch somebody, and you're back to being who you were.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on the Blitz. Fred is arguing about Brock Osweiler versus Tom Savage.
Well, we're talking to the Blitzers while we're out here, and I didn't have my headphones on, so that's twice on the show already. But we're back on the Blitz. We're here at Christian's Tailgate, and as you can tell, we're actually hanging out and talking to the people. So come on out. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And we talked a little bit about the remainder of the bowl game. So let's go through and look at what's left. And you tell me any play on any of these, okay?
Okay.
And we've got Michigan, Florida State tonight. I mentioned earlier, I do like the under 52 in that.
Okay.
Not a bunch, man. I'm playing really, really light. So, tomorrow, LSU minus 3 over Louisville.
I like LSU a lot.
Okay. Tell me why.
I think Louisville's fallen off as the season's gone on. I think LSU, with the new coaching staff in place, the new offense that I would expect to be seeing them run, which, I mean, no matter what it is, it can't be worse than the offense they ran most of the season. And I just think LSU defensively is just dominant. I think Lamar Jackson's going to be very frustrated and flustered. I think that LSU rolls them.
This is one of those games I'm not playing, but I'm not going to fault anybody for taking either side.
Okay.
Because with a month off and maybe getting healthy, I could see Louisville's offense coming back. And if Louisville scores points, they're beating them. LSU can't score. They're not going to have time to put in a new offense. But I also could see exactly what you're saying. So. Here's one I like. I want this number to go up a little bit. Kentucky has been very good against the spread all year long. Plus 3.5 against Georgia Tech. This isn't the Kentucky we're used to seeing. This is a competitive football team. I want that number to go up a little bit.
I was going to say, I would have liked it if it was like 6.
I'd feel better at 5.5 or 6, but as of now, I'm leaning that way anyway. I'm just going to wait and see if there's any line movement, but I do like Kentucky a little bit here.
Yeah, I would have been on Georgia Tech at that number. It's not something I'm interested in playing. I'd prefer it to be 3, but, I mean, unless it gets up around a touchdown, I'm not interested in Kentucky.
Washington, Alabama, we've talked about.
We've
both like Washington outside of 2 touchdowns. Ohio State, Clemson, we mentioned a little bit as well. That number to me is just perfect. Here's what I might look at, under 59.
Okay.
That's a fairly high number for an Ohio State team that's not really – this isn't the explosive Clemson team we're used to seeing. I could see this being 21-17 real easily.
Yeah.
So that's a number I'm more interested in than the actual spread. Your January 2 bowl games. Okay, I'll be perfectly honest. Somebody would have to pay me to sit down and watch Florida and Iowa.
That's going to be painful football. I think the under's 41.
40 is what I saw.
I like under 40.
Actually, I think it might go over 40. I think, especially off the break, we talk about the defenses maybe not being as you start missing tackles in the second half. I think I could see this one being like a 24-21 game, believe it or not.
I just think these offenses are just so piss poor that even bad defense isn't enough to overcome. I mean, I've seen Florida play games this year where they struggled to score a touchdown. I've seen Iowa play games for years where they've struggled to score touchdowns.
Well, that's been 50 years of Iowa football.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be a very regardless, tough road to hoe.
I have no
idea. If I had to play, I'd be Florida would be the nut the side, minus three. But
yeah, I'm not touching either one. Western Michigan plus 7.5 against Wisconsin. I like Western Michigan here. Outside a touchdown, this is a team that's been a cover machine all year. For a lot of the reasons we talked about earlier, how motivated is Wisconsin going to be in this game? How much are they going to get up for a Western Michigan? Wisconsin was in the conversation for the playoff until they lost a Big Ten championship.
Yep.
And now you're playing Western Michigan. And this is the kind of team that can score enough that I don't know that Wisconsin can. Western Michigan can get in their face pretty early. Give me Western Michigan plus 7.5. And here's a bold prediction. Give me Western Michigan money line.
Ooh, okay.
How's
yeah,
that?
I'm not interested in playing it, but I would. I think Western Michigan's the only side if you are interested.
Oh, and keep in mind, I'm talking about betting like 25 bucks here, 50 bucks. I'm not getting crazy with this, but those are. I do like Western Michigan, USC, which is now at minus 7 over Penn State. Give me USC. I'd like it to be under 7.
I hit it. That was the first bowl play that I made. At minus 4.5. That was the very first.
When that number's climbed steadily.
When bowls were announced, that was my play. I said, when people were crying about Penn State not making the playoff, I said, you'll all see what Penn State really is when USC kicks a hole in them in the Rose Bowl. And I fully expect that to happen. I think USC is just a much better team than them. I think if I know there's a lot of people who thought Penn State should have been in the playoff. I think USC is just going to wreck these guys.
Is there anyone outside Alabama who's played better football over the second half of the season than USC? Who beat Washington at Washington and has just played really, really strong football?
Yeah, I like USC a lot here.
Ever since that quarterback change, this has been a different football team. And finally, Oklahoma minus 3 over Auburn. Give me Sooner here. I like Sooner quite a bit, especially at 3.
I would, but old big games. Big Game Bob's bowl game history is not great, and that's concerning to me.
It is, although I liken this more to the year they beat Alabama when Alabama kind of had nothing to play for, and then they came out and beat them. I just don't think Auburn's any good. I think Auburn had a stretch where it was playing good football, playing over its head. Then their quarterback got hurt, and I don't even know how healthy he is. I'm assuming he's going to play. But I don't think they can score with Oklahoma. And I think
you might be right.
I think 3 points is a fair number. I will give the 3, although I hate betting on Oklahoma. I just hate it. They're one of those teams. They're like TCU, which maybe I'm just bitter because they didn't cover today. But those are teams that I'm always on the wrong side of.
Yeah.
When it looks like I think they're going to stomp a hole in somebody, they don't. When it looks like I think they're going to beat somebody, they don't. It's just they're one of those teams. And Oklahoma's that for me. TCU's that for me. Baylor's that for me. Texas has been that. Arkansas this year. Goodness gracious.
Well, Arkansas is a team to bet on in the first half, bet against second half.
Exactly.
Someone said, I can't believe Arkansas is melting like this. I said, well,
have you watched them this year?
You must not have watched any Arkansas game this year, because this is the story of every single Arkansas game. Get up big early, look great, total melt in the second half.
That's or hang Arkansas in there football. Early with a really good team and look great,
yep,
and then do that. So, all right, there you go. That's everything that's left, so good luck. And we're not here Monday, but we're not at Christian's Monday. Actually, maybe at Christian's Monday, I don't know, but we won't be doing a show Monday was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
So we won't be back until Tuesday. So hopefully that will you guys will have a great weekend. I want to take a minute to just say Happy New Year to all the Blitzers. I hope 2017 is an even better year than 2016 was for you. So if you didn't have a great 2016, I hope you have a great 2017. If you had a great 2016, I hope you have an even better 2017. And really appreciate you guys listening this year. We got a lot of great stuff planned for next year. It's going to be a fun year on the show, at the station, and hopefully for you guys. So thank you all for listening, and Happy New Year to all of you. Okay, I still think how much time's left in this thing? It's like 2 minutes. Okay. They can't go more over, so I'm not too worried about it. That's all the gambling I had. I got a story about a guy who was found dead in the hospital. They think he was masturbating. Does that do anything for you?
Died of masturbating? I feel like I should maybe research this just in case.
Well, here's a 48-year-old man was found about 10 a.m. Tuesday in a remote area of the North Central Bronx Hospital. So if you're in the hospital and you're going to do that, you're probably going to a remote area, right?
Yeah.
It says he may have died of a heart attack while masturbating.
That's a cruel way to go because somebody's going to find you there.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing, right?
Are you watching porn on your iPhone?
Did you finish?
Yeah. What's the mess situation like?
Yeah.
Where were you doing this? Were you in bed? Were you on the toilet?
Well, remote area. I'm going to go with stairwell.
You're in the stairs doing that? Or I was thinking like in the woods maybe. That's a remote area. Who's going out in the woods to do that?
Well, it's a remote area, but it's not in the hospital.
So like maybe a janitorial closet is possible?
Yes, that's a possibility. Or a rarely used x-ray room? The morgue?
The chapel?
The morgue. Chapel would be good.
I mean, that's a really embarrassing thing. The priest walks in, he finds you, dong in hand, you know, mess all over the place. That's a bad, bad spot.
A source said no foul play was suspected and that appeared the man had partly disrobed and was watching pornography on a computer when he died.
Mm. That's tough. No chance to erase your browser history.
No. Or anything else.
So they're
it's all
know,
hanging out there.
They're going to know what kind of porn he was into, which is, you know, that's not great. What if it was weird stuff?
What would be weird? Just
like you're into cartoon porn. I'd call that pretty weird. I'm into regular old porn like Casting Couch and Dr. Patient. Like, yeah, you're into weird stuff.
Scott says, my wife's a nurse. Remote areas are not necessary for most patients. I can't imagine doing that in a hospital.
What if you were in the hospital for several weeks? Like you had a real issue and you were going to have to be laid up for 2 weeks straight.
So like leprosy, for instance.
Well, maybe.
Because if it's leprosy, I wouldn't do that because something might fall off. You have to be careful.
What if you were having like cancer treatments?
I don't think I'd have the energy. So you have to pick something where you'd have the energy and desire to do it.
Are you kidding me?
But you can't be stuck in the hospital.
When I was in the Army, I would come home from being out in the field for like 40 days.
Dude, you were 18.
Dead tired, didn't matter. I had to have that release
immediately.
You were 18.
I'm like a 52-year-old man. This guy was 47.
That's true.
I mean, I'm
probably slowing down a little too.
Optimal conditions, yes, I'm fine. But if you put me in a hospital, let's say...
But, I mean, like, okay, maybe you go two or three nights, but... Even at your advanced age, 2 weeks is a long time to go without any release.
It just depends. Depends on what the disease is.
When's the last time you went 2 weeks without release?
I'm trying to think of the very first
time
I ever did that. It was probably when I was 10.
It was like...
Maybe 11.
It was the 2 weeks leading up to the day before I masturbated the first time.
Oh, yeah. I would say...
That was the last time I went 2 weeks without. Not happened since.
I need to come up with an illness that you would still have the desire and ability, but you would be stuck in the hospital that long. See, then it would probably be a mental illness, and then I would just be doing it more.
What if you had like a staph infection or something?
Okay, that's a fair one.
That's got you laid up. You can't leave. You're like quarantined.
Right. Does it hurt a lot or...
It hurts a lot in your foot.
Okay. I'm going to stay. I'll go into the bathroom in my private room and lock the door.
You're going to go in the bathroom? You've got a bed.
Yeah, but I'm going to make sure that the nurse isn't walking in while I'm in the bed. Because maybe you accidentally pushed the call nurse button.
I would do
it. Now you've taken it into a really weird place.
I would start 1 second after the nurse left because chances are good she's not going to come back for a while now. So
you never know. There's always other nurses. There's two or three that'll come in for some reason. I don't want them walking in and I'm sitting there and there's a tent on my bed. I don't want that. I'm going to go into the
restroom. That could lead to a different kind of porno, doctor-patient porno.
Well, no, it'd be nurse-patient porno. Well,
either way, could work.
It might work for you. That wouldn't work for me. They'd be disgusted.
Okay.
As you pointed out many times, I'm a disgusting old troll.
Yeah, you are.
All right, we're gonna take a break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
listening to ESPN 97.5. It's a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. Very easy to find. And today's a 50-cent Friday. 50-cent oysters from 2 until closing. So you want to get your oyster on, you can do that. Happy hour until 7, so you still got a little time for that. Karaoke starting at 9. They do that on Friday and Saturday. And $3 shots all night long. So come on out here. The food's fantastic. They've got, at the front bar, they've got BBH on tap, for those of you who like that. That's what we had earlier. So double down. Cue the he died of a stroke joke.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know. Might have been two strokes. We don't know. Did you see, remember when the Bills signed Reggie Bush?
Yes.
And you thought, well, it's probably not a good idea.
I thought, well, there's a waste of money.
Here's how much of a waste it actually was. It looks like Reggie Bush is going to become the first running back in NFL history to finish a season with negative rushing yards in more than 10 attempts. The current record is minus 4, courtesy of Charlie Smith in 1971. Oh, no, 4. It's not minus. It's 4. Clarence Davis also had 4 yards on 14 carries in 1978. Bush had a negative 8 rushing yards on Saturday. And basically needs 3 yards on Sunday to avoid the record. The last time he had a positive rushing total, week 14, he had 4 yards.
Oh.
3 games with negative yardage this season.
So bad.
And just 5 with a positive total. And he has a rushing touchdown despite his minus 3 yards on the year.
Well, what is there to say? I can't imagine that dude's going to be in the league much longer, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised he was able to accomplish such a feat in Buffalo. I'll say that.
Well, at least it's a Bills-like thing to do.
I read an article today. And we talked about this a little bit with Andrew Luck and what Andrew Luck is now. And I read this article by Mike Renner, of the Washington Post.
Okay.
And the headline of the article is, "The Indianapolis Colts just wasted Andrew Luck's best season." And if you delve into it a little bit, it's kind of hard to argue. And Andrew Luck took a lot of grief this year. But when you look at the numbers, it's not his fault. Now, the problem is, if you're the big savior of the world that everybody thought Andrew Luck was going to be, which maybe I'm guilty of that. I thought Andrew Luck by now would be the best quarterback in the league. He's not. But, I mean, the numbers are astounding. And some of these numbers are... The way they break down numbers now, they relate it to the team success and the talent around you. For instance, almost every stat that Luck had this year was his career best, first of all. But he had a 112.1 quarterback rating when the pocket was clean. And it didn't matter much when the pressure got home, and it got home a lot this year. The success of an offensive line in pass protection is obviously a big issue. A 3-step drop with max protect, you've got time. 7-step, you've got, you know, somebody's going to get there. That's the way it's always worked. Precisely 40.2% of Luck's dropbacks this season have been 9 yards deep in the backfield or more, which is basically as deep as you'll ever see a quarterback go. And that's the Colts quarterback. I mean, the Colts quarterbacks this year sacked 37 times this season, despite him converting pressures to sacks at the 10th lowest rate in the NFL. The whole article boils down to, it breaks down how awful the rest of the team is, specifically the offensive line. Luck under pressure on 44.5% of his dropbacks this year, which is number one in the league by a mile. And the second most dropbacks lasting 2.6 seconds or more of any quarterback in the league, and over his career, he's finished outside the top five in that statistics. He's never finished outside the top five over a full season. Like, this is the most pressured quarterback. And if you look at the rest of his numbers, pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. All things considered, not a bad year for Andrew Luck. Wins, losses, not great. But it's starting to get to the point where the talent around him is so bad that it's hard to blame him anymore, even though I always think win-loss is a stat that's relatable to a quarterback. And I'm not making excuses for him. But, I mean, the problems that this guy deals with the rest of that offense, it's unbelievable.
It is, but I'm just going to say, having watched all their games this year, I still think I don't know how this could be statistically his best year. The year they went to the AFC Championship game, he was amazing. He threw a lot of picks that year, but
yeah, he threw 16 interceptions that year.
But just watching him this year, a lot of times he threw interceptions early and then was brilliant in the second half of games that year.
Yeah,
a lot of come from behind wins. I didn't see him having a great season this year, and not just because of the wins. I think there were a lot of games when they were in the game, he made mistakes to take him out of it, and then added some empty stats late. And I'm not surprised to see some of those, but why? And I don't think he should be doing as many 7 and 9 step drops. But a lot of that's when you're down, you're trying to get deep balls to get back in the game.
Well, a lot of that is that's what you got to do. I mean, you got to run away.
I'll respectfully disagree that it was his best season.
His QBR this year was a 68.3. In 2014, the year that he threw 40 touchdowns, it was a 61.54. And again, that's not the end-all, be-all stat. I agree with that. His passer rating was better this year. He threw less interceptions this year. His completion rate was up a couple percent. The yardage and the touchdowns were down, but at a minimum, you would say that's the season he had statistically is phenomenal, given what he's got to work with.
See, phenomenal is not where I'd go. I'd say he had a very good season, but phenomenal, I think that's overstating it.
No, I'm saying phenomenal relative to, I mean, considering what he's got to work with.
He still has better receivers than the Texans do.
I don't disagree with that.
And his offensive line is a wreck, and they don't really have a running game. Frank Gore is 87 years old.
And the problem is, Grigson's, like, his whole philosophy is sign guys that are past their prime on cheap deals. You can't do that on the offensive line.
It's no. Like, and defensively, they didn't get much help either. But he, to me, and this is why, you know, it's always got to be statistics and context. Go back to 2014. He elevated that team, and they weren't much better. They really weren't. And so I'm not. And I want to make it clear, I'm not blaming him. I don't think it's his fault that they didn't make the playoffs. I think there's a coaching issue, and certainly a talent issue around him,
which can also be a GM issue.
And it is. And I always say, for them to be good, he can't make any mistakes. He really can't. And I guess I got spoiled watching Peyton Manning in that city for so many years, because there were a lot of years he didn't have crap around him either, and he still elevated that team.
Yeah.
And Luck has done it in the past. And, yeah, I think he had a good year.
But Peyton Manning also always had a solid offensive line when he was there.
Honestly, no. I don't think he did have that great of an offensive line. He got rid of the ball so fast it didn't matter. That guy, when he was at his best, he didn't need an offensive line. Because he would do three steps, boom, the ball's gone. That's why he almost never got sacked. And I used to joke about that all the time. I didn't know how good or bad the Colts' offensive line was in pass blocking, because they didn't have to pass block.
Yeah,
he got rid of it so quickly. And that's not fair to compare the two simply because they're Colts quarterbacks. Manning had one of the fastest releases in NFL history and was able to do that. Luck doesn't have that. He's got a good release, but he's not – nobody was Manning other than Dan Marino. But I just look at that and I say, wow, it's a really good year. I wouldn't have thought it would be that great, comparatively speaking.
I guess and you can almost go down to the number. He and Ben Roethlisberger basically had the same season.
Okay.
Ben Roethlisberger threw one more pick than him. The difference is Andrew Luck was sacked 20 times more than Ben Roethlisberger was. I mean, but the touchdown to interception, like I said, is 29-13 to 29-12. They both 38-19 yardage for Roethlisberger, 39-19 for Andrew Luck.
They both missed about the same amount of time.
Yep,
right?
Missed. Their attempts, pass attempts, 505 to 509. I mean, they basically had the same season. It's just Ben Roethlisberger's season looks great because he had team success and the team around him helps to make him look better.
Well, he definitely has more talent because he's got one of the best three running backs in the league, in my opinion.
One of the best three receivers in the league, too.
Yeah, but I didn't really think Ben was having – I wouldn't say Ben had his best year either.
No. I wouldn't say at his best year.
Because he played hurt a lot.
Injuries and things, I think he had a pretty good year.
And to be fair, both of them played hurt a lot during the season. I don't know how hurt Luck was, but I do know Ben was limping around on one leg a lot. But yeah, I think if you put Luck on the Steelers, they're probably the same. But I would also submit that I thought the Steelers had a little bit of a disappointing season compared to what I thought they were going to do.
They had a lot of injury issues. Le'Veon Bell that you mentioned was suspended the first part of the season.
But that's a really good one to bring up, because what if you flip-flop those two? What would the records be?
I don't know. I think that it's very similar. I think those players are similar, in fact. I think their physicality is similar. I think Andrew Luck's got more he can do more things with his feet than Big Ben can. But these are guys who are big, strong dudes who could take a hit, who can move around well in the pocket. I feel like
similar players.
If they switch spots, I feel like Andrew Luck would be having a ton of success. And I feel like Ben Roethlisberger would be perceived anyway as struggling because his team would be struggling.
Interesting question.
I really think if you take Andrew Luck off the Colts, they're the Browns. They are one of the least talented teams across the board in the NFL.
I just want to make clear, I'm not blaming him for their problems. I'm not seeing...
Well, I guess, and the other thing is it's starting to look like Andrew Luck's not good enough to overcome those problems.
And that gets back to something that when you were saying you thought he'd be the best quarterback in the league right now. By now, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. I think if this were the same, if the Colts were run the way they were 10 years ago, I think he'd have a chance to. Now, I don't think he will, unless he gets out of there, which he never will.
Yeah, well, let's take a break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Bauer and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Christian's. And I want to thank all the Blitzers who've come out, because really good turnout tonight. A lot of cool people. And that's the only negative thing about doing the show, is you never really have enough time to actually go talk to people. Josh said he was told there would be pints of BBH. And, of course, now they've got the snifters back.
Oh, sorry, bro.
Oh, well, hey, at least you got it, right?
Yeah.
It's not on tap in a whole lot of places down here right now. So...
I've got some bad news.
You're not going to bring me down, are you? I'm about to be off for 3 days. I'm about to drink like a fiend.
Yeah, there's something going on in Africa I feel like you should know about. First of all, apparently there's a lot of starving children there, I've been told. That sucks. But also...
Now, see, now you brought me down.
Yeah, they've been forced to change some rules to sports in Africa. And...
What, like the Kenyans are not allowed to win marathons anymore?
No. Because
that would mean no one would run marathons.
This is a soccer-related story.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
African football officials have been forced to outlaw something that has given teams a perceived unfair advantage particularly over the last few years. And it's gotten to be such a problem that the Federation felt they needed to step in and make something happen.
Hookers? No hookers?
No, it's much, 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 much worse than that,
okay.
Fred. First of all, the officials there, like the football officials, are called football chiefs. So the African football chiefs, I'm picturing...
See, I kind of like that title. Can I be a radio chief?
No, I'm picturing Andy Reid when I think of the football chief.
Oh.
So maybe
sitting there
him.
With this big thing of plays and...
Could be.
Yeah.
Like hiding behind his play sheet, his mustache and glasses peeking over.
Snot rolling down the mustache, yeah, because it's cold. Okay.
African football chiefs have been forced to outlaw witchcraft. This got to be a serious problem in Africa. It was out of control to the point where someone had to step in. Players have been using it to gain an unfair advantage in the matches, and it had to be stopped. In a game between, this was in the Rwandan Premier League, Mukura Victory was playing Rayon Sports, which is my favorite Rwandan Premier League team,
I'm a big Rayon guy.
I'm a big sports guy, so that it's
well, there you go.
Crazy how that works out. A player apparently performed a ritual mid-game and within seconds scored a goal.
What was the ritual? Got a head off a chicken?
Rayon Sports striker Musa Kamara, whose team was losing 1-0.
1-0.
No, in Africa, they still go the old way. It's 1-0 in Africa. He missed a goal. He hit the crossbar. So, instead of getting back on defense, which I don't know much about like strategy in soccer, but I feel like if you miss a shot, you get back and play D, right? It's not like basketball?
I would need to ask Glenn Davis. He could tell us
all
that.
Well, I hope Glenn Davis talks about this on his
program.
Soccer
matters. It does.
This is a serious issue, and if Glenn Davis hasn't discussed this, I feel like he's missing out. So, Musa Kamara hits the crossbar, and instead of getting back on defense, he runs to the goal and leans a small object against the goalpost. Kamara is then chased away by the angry goalkeeper from Mukura. But as the game restarts, Kamara scores, and suddenly the game's even.
Level,
yes. Yeah. The incident was one of many that may have caused the FA to act. I guess that's the Football Association. It has decided to fine any player seen to take part in witchcraft with a 100,000 Rwandan francs fine.
So what is that, $8?
It's the equivalent to around £99. This is a British story.
Okay.
So I'm having to do like...
the triple math here.
I mean, I have...
So what is that, like $140?
I feel like it's $2.6 million. I don't know for sure.
Well, if it's £99, I'm gonna guess, and Jong will look it up because he knows this off the top of his head. I'm going to go with $138.
If a club has been, if like the full team is involved in witchcraft, they will lose 3 points and face a fine of 2.9 million Rwandan francs. Vedeste Kairinga, who's the president, the vice president.
I noticed you went over that name real fast.
I don't know. I mean, listen.
I call him Vad.
Yeah, let's just call him Veda. Veda.
It's 122.
What?
122.
122. Okay.
$122?
Yeah.
Yeah, for £99.
Dude, if that gets me a goal, I'll pay for that.
I got to say, though, I'm guessing in Africa, a dollar goes a lot further than it does here.
Yeah, that may be a 3-year salary there.
I'm guessing $122 in Africa is... that's. I've seen commercials where I can give food to like 10 children for a dime a day. So... a dollar, $122, much less. That's a lot of Rwandan francs. Veda said, in the Federation of Rwanda Football Association statutes, we don't have any law punishing the use of witchcraft. And this is where it gets crazy. Because there is nowhere in the world where it's been proven that it can influence the outcome of a game. Really? Nowhere in the world have they proven that witchcraft can influence the outcome of a game.
Did I see what the Red Witch did with Jon Snow?
However, with the violence between players because of allegations that one team is using it, we've decided to enact laws. Lay down the hammer. It is sad that we still have such beliefs in our football. It does not only give a bad image to the country, but kills football development. And I think they should take serious measures against this behavior.
Okay, I don't believe in this kind of thing, but I do like witches. So I'm going to object to them banning witchcraft.
Well, this guy said, personally, I don't believe in it, and I had to cut short my playing career because many teams I played for believed in witchcraft, which I didn't. No, bro. Those guys witchcrafted you out of the league.
Yeah.
While you were there being a non-believer, they were busy casting spells that made you suck.
And putting objects on the goal so they could score.
Yeah. By the way, the game ended in a draw. So 1-1. That was the final tally, was 1-1. So the witchcraft wasn't powerful enough to get the W, but it got them on the board.
But see, both teams are probably using their own witchcraft. That's why. It all makes sense now, AJ. That's why there's so many ties in soccer. Because everybody's doing witchcraft. So the witch lets one team score, and another witch lets the other team score, and it finishes in a tie every time.
Yeah.
Maybe it is good to ban it.
They should do that in the Lions-Packers game, right?
That's what I would do. If I were Aaron Rodgers, I would go get me a witch.
I would lean something up against the goalpost.
And then my field goal kicker makes the kick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know how we got on African soccer, but that's just how things go. One last segment left of the show. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN
97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. And once again, I want to thank all the Blitzers for coming out. Good crew here, man. And nice people. Always love getting to meet people who like the show. And our former favorite promo girl is here.
Yeah, so, Mandy's here.
Yeah, she used to be our favorite, and then she abandoned us, like they all do.
Yep.
Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Thursday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all you can eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com. And they're starting at only $125. Now, I don't know what you get for that. I don't think you get to actually hang out with A.J. Hoffman for that.
No.
Because A.J.'s... But you will get...
I'll be strictly in the VIP section.
Okay. So if you want, you're going to have to spend a little more for that. But tickets start at only $125. And get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. But if you think about this, this is an incredible deal. For $125, all you can eat, all you can drink, and succulent barbecue. And you get to meet famous people, although probably not AJ unless you want to upgrade to the VIP.
I'll wave at you, though. I'll give you that, like, sort of the two-finger, like, hey, bro.
So he'll be standing up on the balcony so you can see him.
How's that barbecue? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, like, kind of the salute point with two fingers. Like, how's that barbecue?
So are you going to ask him if it's succulent?
No, I'll know.
Okay.
I'll know because it was advertised as such.
Oh, yeah. Well, we would never, ever lie about something like that.
Yep.
But, yeah, he'll be sitting on the balcony just kind of doing the queen wave to you. And so you'll get to see him. But, no, we've got a lot of really big-time athletes. And if you're into that sort of thing, getting to meet these guys, this is your chance. And, yeah, even for the $125 ticket, you'll get a chance to meet a lot of cool people. So they are going fast. They are going to run out. And the prices are going to go up. So dive in now.
All right.
Okay, so we have Florida State and Michigan coverage beginning at 7 o'clock, so 9 minutes from now. We got Broncos Raiders on Sunday. And we also have Ohio State Clemson, Bama Washington tomorrow.
Good deal.
Louisville LSU will join in progress at noon. after our buddy John Clay Wolf. So there you go. You're all set.
And you won't hear from us again until Tuesday.
No, no. In fact, think of us as taking a break from each other for 3 days. You know, sometimes you have to do that in a relationship.
Yeah. Although we did just kind of have a break from you.
Yeah, and we enjoyed it. And so we're taking another one. But right. don't think it's going to become a habit, because once we get into January, we're going to be closing in on the Super Bowl right here in our city. So I wouldn't anticipate too many more days off from us for a while, except for when I have to move. That's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
We would have stupid stuff, but it was a short week. So Jong says we did not say enough stupid stuff. I kind of think that...
How much time do we have? Because I've got
We have got time.
Okay.
If you've got something stupid, this would be a great way to end the show.
Catherine... no, it's just Catherine.
Oh. Catherine sounded kind of sexy.
I thought it was Katarina, but
that's
it's just
very
Catherine.
Sexy.
Roberts.
Not sexy.
Was arrested on Tuesday for drug charges. She's 39 years old.
Okay.
And according to an affidavit, a sheriff's deputy was dispatched to the home of Roberts and Michael Curtis Sullivan. This is in Missouri. They wanted to serve two active arrest warrants on the woman. When the deputy pulled in, he spoke to Sullivan, who said Roberts was inside the house. At that point, Roberts' daughter was sitting inside a nearby vehicle. When the deputy knocked on the door, Roberts refused to answer. So her daughter walked up and opened the door for the deputy. Miss Roberts was located in a back bedroom behind a locked door. Through the door, the deputy told Roberts about the active warrants, and she opened the door slightly. The affidavit said Roberts then began to argue with the deputy and attempted to shut the door. And when the deputy pushed back on the door, it broke off. Roberts then decided the best way to get out of these warrants was to strip completely naked.
Okay.
Which could work.
Depends.
But chances are, when you're a meth head, it doesn't look that great.
No, I'm going to guess if you're a meth head, that probably is going to just make things worse.
Yeah. So she stripped her clothes off and remained naked for the next 20 to 30 minutes while she argued about the warrants, trying to work her way out of them. The deputy eventually convinced her to put some clothes on, and she was transported to the detention center. While inside the home, the deputy saw marijuana and methamphetamine pipes in plain view in the bedroom and a baggie of marijuana in the living room. So I'm guessing that if she was trying to convince him that she wasn't on drugs, it probably didn't work out.
Probably not.
So
if you're stripping naked to try to convince a cop, that's not going to convince him you're not on drugs.
Yeah.
It's going to have the opposite effect.
The affidavit said Sullivan was questioned about the drugs. And this is where he kind of took one for the team, but not all the way. He said, yeah, the weed is mine, but that meth, that's all her. So
well, that could be accurate.
Take her away, because she's methy.
That could be accurate, because if you caught me and there was weed and meth, the weed would definitely be mine.
Yeah.
The meth would not.
So, her bail is set at $20,000.
Jeez, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
She could probably just strip for it, right?
I'm guessing she's not great at that.
I don't know. Does she look really methy?
There's no picture of her, unfortunately.
Okay, so that's probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
All right, so we've hit a lot of gambling plays. Just before we go, give the people your one favorite play for the weekend.
Oh, man.
Is it Washington?
Probably Washington. I mean, it depends on where you can get the number.
You get outside of 17, I feel even better.
Yeah, 17 is where I have it. If you get that or better, that's my favorite. I like USC inside a touchdown over Penn State.
Okay.
So that's my best ones. I also like under a round and a half tonight.
All right. Yeah, I'm actually going to punch a ticket on that.
On Ronda Rousey's fight,
yeah,
by the way.
Is it minus 110 or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a real good number on that. Okay, so this being our last show of the year, you know, we didn't do, which I'm glad we didn't do the whole list of the best things of 2016. You're like, oh, this was the best story, and this was the best that. I'm glad we didn't do that. It's kind of cheesy.
No.
All right. That's going to...
We're too cool for that.
Well, I don't know if we're too cool. Maybe we just didn't think of it. I wouldn't have done it anyway. I want to thank everybody for coming out here, man. Really appreciate you guys. Really glad that I got a chance to sit and meet a few of you guys. Really nice people. The Blitzers rule, man. You guys are the best. I want to thank you for a terrific 2016. 2017 is going to be even better and badder, and we're going to get in more trouble. Great job by Jong Lee. Great job by A.J. Hoffman.
And also, let's keep witchcraft out of African football.
And let's keep witchcraft out of American football.
Yeah, we don't need that.
They've already sent flopping over here.
My goal for 2017 is to keep witchcraft out of soccer, particularly in third world countries.
My goal is to
where it's running rampant.
Not beat up a drag queen with a tiki torch while dressed in a KKK outfit.
Good goals. They're not unmanageable. Like, we can meet those goals.
I think so.
But they're solid goals.
All right. Guys, have a great, great New Year's. Till Tuesday, stay sportsy, bitches.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.